Good morning. This morning we are in Psalm 27. I have entitled the sermon, Wait on the Lord. Now, I will say I have an uphill climb in our culture, and with you and with me, and I'm preaching to me this morning, wait is a four-letter word. We don't like it. Show me a person that likes to wait, and I will show you a liar. We don't like to wait. I generally wait only when I have to. I do not like to wait. Waiting is an indication, actually, that I'm not in charge. Waiting is an indication that there's nothing I can do to speed things up. I wait for the water to boil because I can't make it boil any faster. I wait for my car to be repaired because I can't repair it myself. I wait for the tow truck to come because my car won't go. I wait for the harvest of my butter beans, my pink-eyed purple hulls, and my green beans because I can't make the plants grow any faster and I can't make them produce the harvest any faster. Waiting is an indication that my present power and gifts and strengths and abilities aren't enough. I can't fix whatever is wrong. I can't address the issue. I can't correct it. Waiting is an indication that I need someone else who has more power, better strengths, better gifts, better abilities in order to address whatever is wrong. Otherwise, I just do it myself. So we don't like to wait. It's interesting in this text, sometimes you are helped to understand life and particularly biblical teaching if you will ask the question, okay, wait, what does that mean? Okay, well, wait as opposed to doing what? And there are other psalms that help us with this, and I will do it quickly. Lots of scripture this morning, but I want us to be overwhelmed to some degree when we leave this place with how often we're told to wait on the Lord, because we're restless. We don't like to wait. We certainly don't like to wait for God, but we really need to. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Look at this. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Well, I could finish now, couldn't I? I mean, that gets us. It only causes harm, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Hey, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm doing what's righteous. I'm sometimes bearing with falsehood, iniquity. Sometimes I'm bearing with a world that isn't sympathetic to me. It seems like Christian people are left behind and the ungodly are prospering, and it's frustrating and I don't like it. And I wish things were immediately fair, and I'm going to do something about it. And so I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to say something in my anger, and in a day I'm going to realize that was dumb. Don't fret. Don't cause yourself an upheaval. Don't think that you're God and you've got to fix this. You can't. You're not going to. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to wait on the Lord. Proverbs 20. Do not say, I will recompense evil. I will take care of that. I'll make sure justice is served. I'm going to get them back for what they did. Wait for the Lord and He will save you. Another scripture says that the Lord says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. We'll say, Lord, do you mind if I help? No, He doesn't need our help, does He? That's the whole point. Psalm 37, later in the same chapter, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Psalm 46:10, be still. Be still. Boy, we hate that. Be still and know that I am God. And the flip side of that is that you're not and that I'm not. But we really need to know that. It's a shame how quickly we can get confused and we can begin to say, well, I'm going to fix my life's problems. I'm going to just do this and magically it's going to all be better. But it never is it? You say, Brother Ricky, I'm not really sure what wait means. I'm not even really sure with this be still and know that I am God. What are we doing? What I want to try to not like use overly religious language so that we leave here and we're not clear on what I'm trying to say. So when you be still and know that I am God, when you wait on the Lord, you stop acting as if you are your own Lord. You stop acting as if you are your own king. You stop acting as if you are your own protector. You stop acting as if you are your own provider. You stop acting as if you are your own God. Stop thinking that way. Stop bearing responsibility that you don't actually bear. God said He could take care of us. He said He was the Heavenly Father and we are His children. Those of you who are parents, what are you unwilling to do to care for your children? If harm is going to come to them if you don't act, what are you unwilling to do to protect them? In the moment when they like you the least, they have just said, "I don't love you anymore," which is nasty, isn't it? But if you're a parent and you live long enough, you're probably going to hear something just like that. So right after they've said that, what would you do to keep them from coming to harm? The parents in this room, I'm certain, given a choice between your demise and the demise of your children, you wouldn't even pause. Stop acting like that we are our own Lord, that we're our own king, that we're our own protector, that we're our own provider, that we are our own God. Wait in the Scripture is shorthand for trust. It's virtually equivalent to trusting in the Lord as opposed to trusting in ourselves for life's solutions. In practice, the concept of biblical faith most often looks like just waiting for the Lord to do something you can't do. Wait on the Lord. The psalm finishes. And I want to ask the question, when do we wait on the Lord? First, we wait on the Lord when I need light and salvation. When I need light and salvation. The psalm begins a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Whom or so why should I tremble? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army encamp against me, that is, they surround me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, that is, even if I'm attacked in this, yet still I will be confident. What is it that the psalmist says he is going to be confident in or confident of? He says he is going to be confident in the fact that the Lord is his light and his salvation. He's not. I have said before, and I'll repeat it again this morning, I urge you to cling to Jesus like your life depended on it, but be glad that it doesn't. What it depends on is that Jesus clings to you. And even if you lose your grip on him, he will not lose his grip on you. But let me say it again. Cling to Jesus like your life depends on it. But be glad that what it actually depends on is that he clings to you. His yes to you is a whole lot more powerful than your yes to him. But he deserves your yes. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lamentations. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Micah. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. In the New Testament, we are told, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly, what? Wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait on the Lord When? When I need light and salvation. Secondly, though, wait on the Lord when I worship. Verse number 4 is a verse that has long garnered my attention, even my reflection and meditation. It says, "One thing I have desired, I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, the thing that I seek the most, that I may dwell or live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire, to seek Him in His temple, delighting in the perfections and meditating in His temple. For in the time of trouble or adversity, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in His shelter, in the secret place of His tabernacle or tent. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." He'll place me out of reach. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." We should wait on the Lord in worship. There are two things here that we're going to visit, and one of them is the object of your thoughts in worship, and then the second is the duration. Let's start with the objects of our thoughts in worship. Verse 4 says, "I behold, I gaze on the beauty of the Lord." That's different than a passing glance. We might use the word stare. Little kids, they have a staring contest, don't they? They get face to face, they look at one another, and the one that blinks first loses, right? A silly little kid's game, right? This is the sense here. It is that the worshiper longs to see God, and so they keep looking at Him and looking at Him and looking at Him and looking at Him and enjoy seeing Him. And they don't turn their face away. They continue to look. They gaze at the beauty of the Lord. We inquire of the Lord. We delight in the Lord's perfection. We meditate on the Lord. In worship, we need to correct our thinking. We spend, I think, too much time thinking about life's problems rather than thinking about our life's author, our life's designer, our life's sustainer, our life's savior. In worship, we need to think about God being exalted. We need to think about Him being exalted because we need to know that next to our problems, He is so amazing. And our problems next to Him, they are so small. But if we just think about our problems, they will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we will be overwhelmed by them because we will forget that next to Him, our problems are teeny. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there," the old King James used to say, "if there be any virtue or anything praiseworthy, think on these things." Meditate on these things. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what's the object of your thinking most of the time? Is it trouble? Is it adversity? Is it enemies? Beware of your thinking, particularly when God is absent. Proverbs 4 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Proverbs 23 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The objects of your thoughts, they're often the reason for your mood, and they're a great indicator of your spiritual health. When we think too much about life without God in view, our spiritual health declines. When we keep God front and center in our thoughts, Our mood is hopeful, and we are spiritually healthy. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Are you preoccupied with God? Are you preoccupied with Jesus? Are you preoccupied with the Holy Spirit? Are you preoccupied with the teaching of the Bible? Are you preoccupied with being a follower of Jesus, of representing Him to the world? Or are you preoccupied with life's troubles? For way too many people, we are preoccupied with life's troubles, and that is the reason that we are down and we are depressed and we're discouraged. We need to be preoccupied with God. He needs to occupy our thoughts. This psalm, you'll recognize it, but just listen to the words. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us, sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe Him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The second thing we're going to visit in just a few minutes, but it's the pace of our thoughts. It's the pace of our thoughts. How many of you have ever said, "My mind is racing"? Let me see your hands. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we are in a hurry, and even our thoughts reveal that. Brother Ricky, when else should we wait on the Lord? We should wait on the Lord when I must have God's presence. When I must have God's presence. Verse 7 says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. When or even if my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." An important part of worship is seeking the Lord. It doesn't just happen in this building, though it should happen here. It should happen in our private times of worship as well. Psalm 105 says, "Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I say rather plainly this morning, worship is rarely, almost never, an accident. Worship is rarely, almost never, an accident. It is deliberate. It is on purpose. We do not experience the presence of God much too often because we have not sought Him. You know, an interesting thing about life is you generally find what you're looking for, but you generally don't find things you're not looking for. And lots of people haven't found God because they have never looked. And frankly, some of us who know that we ought to be looking, we don't look very long, and it's the reason we don't find very much. We have slogans in our culture like binge watching. But we have songs in our hymn book like Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's a huge contrast, isn't there? And it explains why we are spiritually where we are. Because we're better at binge watching than we are at Sweet Hour of Prayer. Brother Ricky, what are you trying to say? I'm saying we're not still. We're not stationary. We're not quiet. We're distracted with technology and entertainment. We are impatient. If we are still stationary and quiet too quickly, we are restless. Though I don't want every hymn we sing at church to be a funeral dirge, I also want us to beware that we're not just singing fast so we can get done. And though I don't want to waste time in worship, some silence in worship is good. In fact, as much as I'm glad that we're a friendly church and we talk and stuff, it actually would be a great idea when the person started playing the hymn at the beginning of the service for us to quiet ourselves and for us to begin to seek the Lord's face, for us to begin to just pray quietly. Lord, I need to talk to you today. I need to hear from you today. There's sin in my life. I need you to forgive me today. I need you to heal me today. I need you to transform me today. God, I've got this family member. They're in great need of you today. Would you bless them? Would you open an opportunity for me to represent Jesus to them well today? I have a neighbor. They got cancer, Lord. They need your touch. Do I want you to be unfriendly? No, I don't. You say, Brother Ricky, but that's the only time we have. Linger around the church after it's done. Use your telephone. We all have them. Call somebody. How are you? Are you okay? You know, we've been praying for you. Often our spiritual senses are undeveloped due to a lack of use. Our physical senses dominate our time and attention, and while that is so, our spiritual senses are dormant. We must learn to slow down the pace of our thoughts and life, turn the volume down on our mechanized world, and learn to hear silence and feel our own heartbeat and sense our own breathing. All of this takes practice. Once the stimuli associated with our physical senses is not dominating our attention, you can begin to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can begin to share yourself with God in honesty. You can tell Him the things you think, both the things you think He'll be happy about and the things He'll be disappointed about, but you get to tell Him all of that. You get to tell Him about your victories and your defeats, your hopes and your fears. You may use a Bible and you might use a hymn book in these times. But to be clear, once your spiritual senses alert you to the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, do not rush to find the next or the better. Just sit and linger and enjoy that. Better that you never read the Bible through in a single year, because every time you read 6-7 verses in, God begins to speak to your heart and you stop. And you listen to Him and you commune with Him and you thank you, God, for being living. I'm not just reading a book that you sent and you never speak anymore. It is a book through which you actually still speak. And here I'm communing with you, the living God. This is what we are in desperate need of. Meditate on what God is doing. Keep thinking and paying attention to what you've just heard, thought, or experienced. Psalm 34 says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Psalm 40 says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Such as love your salvation, say continually, 'Let the Lord be magnified.'" Lastly, we need to wait on the Lord when enemies are present. We need to wait on the Lord when enemies are present. Verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies." And we skip to verse 12. I had some alternate translations there. "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, as such breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." To be clear, I believe in heaven. I believe that I will receive a resurrected and glorified body, disease and sin free. And I'm thrilled thinking about it. But that's not all I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit was sent by God to live in the hearts and lives of those who believe. And I believe He lives in me now. I don't believe I am without the presence of the Lord. I don't believe I have to wait for some sense of the forgiveness of God or the acceptance of God or the love of God. I believe we can enjoy all of that now. I believe we receive the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, both on this side of glory and on the next. Romans 8 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect, against God's chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us." With a little spit and vinegar this morning, we can say to the devil, "Bring on your accusations, though they be true. King Jesus is my intercessor. Do your best. I stand in heaven approved. I'll be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not because my grip on Jesus is so good, but because His grip on me is so good. You may defeat me, but you'll not defeat Him, and I'm riding His coattails into glory." You can't get happy about this. I can't help you. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?" Say it. No. "Shall distress?" No. "Persecution?" No. "Famine?" No. "Nakedness?" No. "Peril?" No. "Sword?" No. "As it is written," Paul says, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors on our own. No, through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord when we need light and salvation. We need to wait on the Lord when we worship. We need to wait on the Lord when we feel alone, when hope leaves, when we are desperate for the presence of the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord when our enemies are present. Psalm 62, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Psalm 130, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope." And Isaiah 40, "But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wait on the Lord. And all God's people say, amen.